Hi, everybody. My name is Špela. I'm coming from Geological Survey of Slovenia. And today's presentation will be about one project, specific project Pan-Af-Geo project, which means Pan-African Geological Projects, because this is covering the field of geology and the story behind how we included open source software in our teaching part of the project itself. So I will first give you the overview of how project works and then how we included open source softwares for our trainings. So everything began really years ago because mineral resources as such are really important, as you know, also from commercial uses. But Africa is still lacking the systematic mapping of these mineral resources. So there was an opportunity to change this. And there was a feasibility study made in 2015 about what is the status of the art and what are the skills of African Geological Service to be better or to improve in the field of mineral resources. So for that reason, European Union financed a project between European Geological Service, which is an organization within Europe that connects 30 different geological service, and they are presenting one part of the project, and the other one is Organization of African Geological Service, and we are establishing a long-term strategic cooperation, so to transfer our knowledge and know-how to them so that they can improve and reinforce their own skills. And also this is, you have some key networks and partners involved. So these were the main, are still the main objectives because the project finishes in this year. So the regional mapping, mineral resource mapping and exploration, upgrading geoscientific information base, upgrading mineral inventories, these are the key points that we want to improve. This is the European consortium. As you can see, 12 geological service are included in this consortium with a lead partner from France. And the project consists of 8 work packages dealing with different geoscientific skills. As you can see, there is geoscientific mapping, mineral resource assessment, artisan small-scale mining, but also environmental management of mines, geohazard, geosites, as well as geoinformation management. And it is set in a way that you have a European leader of the work package and also you have a co-leader on the African side, so that the impact could be or is higher. And the idea is to ongoing, that we have around 40 trainings planned in English, French and Portuguese, and that the whole Africa is covered. So these are the locations where it was provisional maps where the training should be hosted in which countries. So 500 days of training, 11,000 days of trainees presence. So all together 42 trainings through the 3 years project duration. So at the end of 2018, the status was like this. Almost 700 trainees coming from 44 countries and 14 hosting countries. So 9 English-speaking sessions and 8 French-speaking sessions. And the Portuguese, 2 will be in, one was already done this year and one will be in a month or so. So as you can see, this is really covering the whole Africa. So this is also one of the key success part of the project itself, because it's rarely the projects rarely focuses on the whole continent. They are set to the north or south, or just depends. So this, in the work package 7, geoscientific information management, this is where open source comes to. I would not say it's too live, but it's the part where we can use it. especially in two modules. One is about database management, the second one is about spatial data infrastructure. So the trainings are set upon our knowledge at in the case of the spatial data infrastructure knowledge that we gain at Geological Survey of Slovenia. Because we ran into, I think, a general problem that ESRI became quite expensive and we could not afford so many licenses anymore. So we were looking for new ideas and we turned to open source. So we used our data and we prepared them in a way to combine different open source software. And this is how we planned our training for Africans. And Geological Survey performed two trainings, one in Tanzania and one in Botswana. So to make first geology more recognizable, to make their data more interoperable, or at least to make them free, or in a way to give them a chance to collect them on a national level, because they are still hiding their data, not just on the on institutional level, but also on personal level. So they really need, maybe now they will have a chance, because the easy approach is you have a quick result at the end. So you can show quite quickly what you have. So maybe this will push them a little bit. So we planned our training in a way that we perform practical exercises on computer. So in a way they also gained some new skills, because most of them, they knew QGIS, but GeoKettle and GeoServer they didn't know. And also they wanted to do it themselves. So this was the kind of overview of our training process. There are QGIS is missing at the beginning down below. That we started first to look at their spatial data, and then we created a database, and then we also used PostGIS important to put these GIS flat files into database, and then through GeoKettle we also combined some data, and we used at the end GeoServer and GeoNetwork to publish them for the first time some data on the internet. So they got the idea of the whole process. For them it was too quickly, it was like a 14-day training, but too many information and too much time, because they're still dealing with the basics. But nevertheless, we ask at the end, how did they find certain category of the training important? And the highest number would be 5, and they see usability of open source software as something that is really important for them. I also, afterwards, I sent some questionnaire around, just a simple one. Do they use actually now, after we finish the trainings, these softwares, and for what purposes? I got only 10 responses back, so there is no huge analysis behind, but still we can get a slight impact. How successful can we be? So the QGIS is most popular. But also they use PostgreSQL for data management, and some are also using GeoServer and GeoNetwork. But this is also connected to how advanced they are and what are their possibilities back home. These are maybe more exact question answers. So QGIS, they produce different thematic maps. This is the example of mineral property map for mineral exploration companies in Liberia. Also they are visualizing satellite images, and they use it for training, not just for them, but also to train other colleagues. GeoKettle is more or less used for converting all data or organized all data into a new databases that are developed in PostgreSQL, like in this is from Nigeria and in Kenya, or also Liberia, but I like that they say that for them they need more practice because it's difficult. But it's nice to be recognized that they recognize that they need it, but they still need some work to improve. And GeoSurveys for sharing geological data, and GeoNetwork for metadata, and cataloging different type of data in their server survey. So my conclusions are that even though they have unequal possibilities because of the politics, because of the financial issues, because of the human resources, usually there are one man band who should with a geological background even, so it's hard for them. And also it's hard for us to follow feedback. We cannot count how many times did they open QGIS. We cannot count the layers that they produced. So we are now really thinking about how to evaluate our impact. That maybe it's after 3 years, it's too early to expect a huge impact, but if we go ahead and there is a possibility that the project will continue it in the second phase, we should find some solution to measure this impact, because then we can also help a little bit more or be more on user side, user needs side. The good thing is they are setting up a strong network among each other within the countries and within the country itself and outside the borders. And I think we are going to succeed in a way to reinforce skills of employees in African Geological Service. And also one more thing, that these are public services, and it's a different story towards private sector, because private sector is strong. They know all this open source software, they use it, and they are really good at it. So the people who learn at public services usually go to work than for private, and the generations are changing, and the people who were actually participants, they were average year, well, for the first training it was 44 years, the average, and for the second it was 35. So actually for European standards it's quite late, but it shows that they are thinking about changes, and they need to do them also by themselves, not just wait for outsider to set them the system, and they will be just the users. So thank you. It's it's about PanavGeo from my side. If you want more, there is a website. You can have more detail, more information on the project itself there. But if you have any questions.
So this is basically only for public sector, because as I know, probably the lots of mine fields are owned by European countries, maybe from Swiss.
Some Swiss, yeah, not just Swiss. Yeah, it's for public sector, because it's a transfer and know-how from public sector in Europe to public sector to Africa. But there is a strong politics here behind, especially because of mineral resources, and the directors of geological service have strong political, how do you say, not background, but they need to know strong politicians around to be able to perform some services. So it's not a white-black picture behind it. But it's not our problem to solve it, we just perform technical issues here.